Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. We've got another deep dive today into three cyber attacks that really caught my eye. Attackers are getting so creative these days.
Yeah, it's a constant cat and mouse game, isn't it?
It really is, but that's why we do these deep dives, right?
Yeah.
We got to stay ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. Staying informed is half the battle.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Our first story involves Finastra. You know, they're a big deal in the fintech world. They provide software to like a ton of financial institutions all over the globe. We're talking over 8,000 institutions in 130 countries.
Wow. Yeah. Finastra's reach is enormous. They're pretty much a backbone of the global financial system.
Right. And including, by the way, a lot of the top 50 banks. So back in October 2024, they got hit. Attackers were able to get into one of their systems, an SFTP platform. You know, those are specifically designed for secure file transfers.
Oh, that's not good. SFTP is supposed to be, well, secure.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. They were in there undetected for days.
Days. Seriously, that's a lot of time to be poking around a system like that. It makes you wonder about their security, you know, their detection capabilities.
Right. Well, you think a company of that size dealing with such sensitive financial data would have like the best security measures, right?
No, you would hope so. But this kind of thing happens. You know, even big organizations, sometimes they struggle with just basic security hygiene. Things like patching, threat detection, you know, strong access controls. They get overlooked or underfunded.
Yeah, classic. It's like everyone knows security is important, but actually putting it all into practice, especially in a huge organization, is tough.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot easier said than done.
Okay, so this is where things get really interesting. So there were all these claims going around about a massive data leak, something like 400 gigabytes of Finastra data circulating on a cybercrime forum.
Yikes, 400 gigs. That's a lot of data.
Right, but get this. Finastra publicly downplayed the whole thing. They said, nah, it's not a big deal. The risk to individuals is low.
That's a tricky one. Companies always want to downplay these things. It's understandable, you know, damage control, protect the reputation, all that.
Yeah, I get that. But it also feels a little like they're sweeping it under the rug, you know?
It does make you wonder about the transparency, right? Like, is there more to this story?
And this isn't even their first rodeo, remember? They had that ransomware attack back in 2020.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And the cause. Unpatched vulnerabilities, if I'm not mistaken.
You're exactly right. It shows that even big organizations, they can be vulnerable to those basic oversights. All right, let's move on to the next story. This one hits a little closer to home for a lot of people. It involves Lee Enterprises, a huge publishing group, you know, newspapers and stuff. They've got a massive reach, like 77 daily newspapers, hundreds of other publications all over the U.S.
Wow, that's a lot of local news. And local news is so vital, you know, it keeps communities informed and connected.
Exactly. And that's why this attack is so concerning. So on February 3rd of this year, they were hit with a ransomware attack.
Oh, yeah.
And it crippled them for over 2 weeks. Like, they couldn't print or distribute their papers. Billing systems were messed up. They couldn't even pay their vendors.
Oof. Yeah, that's rough. Ransomware can really bring an organization to its knees. It goes way beyond just encrypting files. It disrupts everything.
Totally. And it's a big deal because in this case, you know, it disrupted the flow of information to literally millions of people. It's a stark reminder of just how reliant we are on those digital systems.
It really is. It can be easy to take those systems for granted until they're gone.
Okay, so talk to me about the attackers, like how they even get in. What were they doing?
Well, seems like they followed that pretty standard ransomware playbook. Get into the network, encrypt critical applications, and steal files. And they do that last part, the data exfiltration, to really up the pressure, you know.
You mean they threaten to leak the stolen data if the ransom isn't paid?
Exactly. It puts the victim in a really tough spot. Pay up and risk funding further criminal activity, or refuse and risk sensitive information getting out there.
Ugh, what a horrible situation. Do we know if they actually got any sensitive data in this case?
It's still unclear, actually. The investigation is ongoing, and Lee Enterprises is slowly getting back on their feet, but the full extent of the damage, it's still unknown.
It's crazy to think this is actually the second big cyber attack they've faced in just a few years. Remember back in 2020 when they were targeted by, I think it was Iranian hackers?
Oh yeah, I remember that. It just goes to show you, media organizations, they're constantly under threat, not just from cyber criminals, but sometimes even nation-state actors.
Yeah, it's a tough world out there for media companies, trying to report the news while constantly fending off these sophisticated attacks.
No kidding, it's a constant battle.
Speaking of sophisticated attacks, our final story today is about this phishing campaign. Microsoft's been warning people about it, and it's really interesting. It's like a new twist on traditional phishing.
Oh, yeah. This one is pretty clever. It's called device code phishing. And it kind of plays on this thing that, you know, a lot of people probably use without even thinking about it.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me. How does this device code phishing thing even work?
So think about when you log into something like your email or whatever on a device that doesn't have like a regular keyboard or browser.
Yeah.
Like a smart TV or maybe a gaming console.
Right. Yeah.
You'll often get a prompt, right, to enter a code on a different device, like on your phone or your computer.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I've done that a bunch of times.
Well, that's exactly what the attackers are exploiting. They trick people into entering a malicious code, and that gives them access to the victim's account.
So it's not about stealing your password directly. It's more like hijacking this whole device code authentication process.
You got it. And what makes this campaign even more, I don't know, concerning is that they're targeting high-value targets, you know, government people, folks in NGOs, people working in critical infrastructure. It's pretty strategic.
Wow. So this isn't just some random phishing scam. They're going after people with access to, you know, really sensitive information.
Exactly. And here's how they usually do it. First, they impersonate someone the victim knows and trusts, like a colleague or a contact. They use messaging platforms, you know, like WhatsApp, Signal, even Microsoft Teams.
Right. Classic social engineering. You know, build that rapport, make the victim less suspicious.
Yeah.
I've fallen for that before. I'm sure we all have at some point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've all been there. So anyway, once they've established some trust, they'll send like a fake meeting invitation. And that invitation, it'll include this device code, you know, disguised to look like it's totally normal.
So the victim thinks they're just joining a meeting. They enter the code and boom, the attacker's in.
Pretty much. And what's even more worrying is that they've figured out how to exploit a vulnerability in Microsoft's authentication system. It allows them to generate new access tokens. You know, those are basically like long-lasting keys to your account.
Hold on. Break that down for me a little. What does it mean to generate new access tokens? What are the implications of that?
Okay, so imagine you log into your account. The service gives you these tokens, right? They're valid for like a set amount of time. They work behind the scenes, keep you logged in. Well, these attackers, they've figured out how to steal these, what they call refresh tokens.
So they can basically stay logged in indefinitely, even if the victim changes their password.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why this particular phishing campaign is so dangerous.
Okay, I'm feeling a little vulnerable right now. What can our listeners do to protect themselves from this kind of attack?
Well, first thing is awareness. Now that you know about it, you're already a step ahead. Be wary of any unexpected prompts for device codes. If you didn't initiate a login attempt that needs a device code, don't enter it.
Good point. So if I get a message from someone saying, hey, enter this code to join our meeting, I should double check with them, like through a different channel.
Exactly. Verify, verify, verify. And don't just assume it's legit because it's from someone you know. Attackers can compromise accounts, so even messages from trusted contacts can be dangerous.
Okay, so we got be wary of unexpected device codes, double check anything that seems fishy, even if it's from someone you know. What else?
Enable multi-factor authentication on all your accounts. It's that extra layer of security. It makes it so much harder for attackers to get in, even if they do manage to steal a device code.
Right, multi-factor authentication. It's like a bodyguard for your account. Such a simple step, but it makes a big difference.
It really does. And another thing, don't forget to keep your software up to date. Your operating system, your web browser, all your apps, everything.
Yeah, yeah, those updates. Yeah. They often include security patches. It's like keeping your digital fences, you know, strong and in good shape.
Exactly. And lastly, be cautious about what you share online, especially on social media. You know, attackers can use that information to create more convincing phishing attacks, ones tailored to your interests and connections.
It's all about being mindful of our digital footprint, right? What we share can be used against us.
Absolutely. It's something to keep in mind.
It's wild, right?
Right.
Like, as we're talking about all these cyber attacks, it just hits me. They all play on our human nature in some way.
It's true. You know, our trust in people we know, that desire to help out, or just clicking on things without really thinking, attackers are really good at figuring that stuff out.
Totally. So how do we get better at resisting those tactics? Like, I know about them now, but in the moment, it's so easy to fall for that stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it takes practice. You got to build up that kind of, like, skepticism, you know, especially online. Like, if something seems too good to be true, or even just a little off, trust your gut. Don't be afraid to question things, double check, you know, even just say no.
It's like having a BS detector for the digital world.
Exactly. And don't forget, anyone can be a target. These attackers, they're not picky. They just want the easiest way in. So we all need to be aware and ready to defend ourselves.
So awareness and preparation, those are our best weapons.
You got it. And remember, cybersecurity, it's not just about the tech stuff. It's about people, processes, that whole culture. We gotta work together to make the digital world safer for everyone.
Well said. I think that's a great place to wrap up our discussion.
It really is. Always a pleasure diving deep with you and everyone listening.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us for another Cyber Mornings Daily Deep Dive. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and we'll catch you next time.